Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, listeners. James just said yos instead of yes.
I would never say yos in my life. Oh, you've made me say it. That's a word I promised I'd never say.
Well, as I've already established on this show, I'll always get you anytime, anywhere, any day.
It's true.
I'm Claire. James is here also. We are Suggestible Pod. We're married and we recommend you stuff. That's it.
I was going to add something, but no. Nah,
I have to say to you, I'm done with the waffle. I feel like during lockdown we got waffly. We got complacent.
We're getting loose.
We got loose.
These used to be 30-minute shows.
Yeah, and then I don't know what happened. We lost our minds. But now we're back, baby. We're out of lockdown.
That's right.
We can even leave our house without a mask on.
That's right. The clock's on.
Ticking. It's a tick-tock and a tick-tock tick. So
I think we probably mentioned this last week, but if you are going into lockdown or you're in some stage of lockdown, best of luck, depending on how the rest of the country is reacting also, I guess.
I'm so sorry, friends.
But, you know, it's they're rolling out the
vaccine is coming over the horizon
in December. But then, of course, that depends on, you know, if everybody takes it or not,
and all the things,
whether it affects herd immunity and whatever and so forth. What else here to talk about?
No, we're here to bring you some jollies.
Yeah,
we're here to bring you some jollies from sunny Australia, mate, because it's sunny over here. It's no longer winter, and I'm sorry if you're going into winter. But you know what? Christmas is a great time. I've never experienced a cold Christmas, but if you're having one this year, ooh, snug as a bug. Get into the old Christmas spirit and eat lots of pud. You don't have to leave your house. No one has to see you.
No.
Just sit there in front of the television. And we're going to give you loads of things to read, watch and listen to while you're in there. So, James, you're up. First off.
I'm running a bit low on, like, things to watch that are, like,
cheerful?
No.
Because that's not a surprise.
I'll watch a grim thing. I've got a couple. Both of mine are cheerful this week, actually.
Oh,
someone's got, like, a show that's, like, but then again, I haven't seen The Wire. I haven't watched all of, like, Sopranos. Like, there's things that I haven't watched that I should just be. I haven't watched Veep. I've got some other things that I'm working on.
You know what I haven't watched? Schitt's Creek.
I don't have anything. I just named like five shows and I'm currently watching like two shows at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Dear God. All right. Well, do you have something?
I got something.
Okay.
What I watched, and this is on, I think it was on, might have been on HBO Max.
Drinking a Diet Coke while you do that.
Nothing wrong with that. Zero calories, all cancer. So what it is, it aired on, I think, Stan here. It's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion where they get – did you ever watch that show?
What do you mean, did I ever watch that show? Like it was an obscure show.
No, not
show
obscure.
In the 90s.
I mean, it was here. It was
– boo, boo, doo, boo, boo.
We didn't get every show all the time.
I love the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
It's
Are
a
you
great
kidding
show.
Me? That was part of my childhood, mate.
Yeah. Well, so
yep. I pulled – up to the house about 7 or 8.
He does
the rap. To the cab of your horse. Well, you later. Look at my kingdom. I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel-Air.
There was boop, he does the rap boop, at the boop, end. Boop. Will Smith does the rap with the cast.
Oh, really?
So what they do? They've rebuild the set. Like it's like one to one, exactly the same
Whoa.
As it was. And they all wander on. They all look great, by the way. James Avery, who played the Uncle Phil, he's passed on since.
Aww.
I think he passed in like 2013. So that's a big focus of it. But basically it's just this roundtable discussion of they're just going through memories and all these kinds of things that happen. And I'm not really a huge fan of like reunion specials. There was one like MASH that I quite liked from that's probably like a couple of decades ago now.
Did you watch the Full House one they did?
No, this isn't like a new episode. It's
just the read.
It's just they're just talking about like memories from the show and behind the scenes stuff. And it's really funny. They've clearly got like great chemistry. It's like still, it's got great insight into their personal lives and also their professional lives and kind of how they've gone since. And in terms of like they all kind of knew like Will Smith was going to be a star and how he talks about how he wasn't an actor.
You're going to be a star. Yeah. Every time someone says that, I always think of someone with one of those like funny hats on an angle.
He's got a cigar.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to be a star.
Yeah, that's
I'm going to make you a star.
You're going to be a star.
Have your name up in lights.
Up in the lights. Yeah, I'm here looking at you, kid.
Yeah.
Okay, but that was fun.
So so he was really young. I think he was like 21 when it started. And he wasn't an actor. And you see in scenes, he's like mouthing other people's lines because he's like memorized the whole script. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like none of them, they're all actors except for him.
Yeah.
And it's like they go into like the relationship between you know, like him and Carlton in the show and how that reflected them in real life also.
Oh, and you also, know Emma Watson, sorry, I just interrupted you. You know Emma Watson does that in Harry Potter a lot when she's, because she wasn't a trained actor either.
Yeah, right.
Playing Hermione. Oh, there's the baby every monitor time. Every time.
Just in time.
Yeah. She's often, you can see if you zoom in into scenes, she's like mouthing all the words of all the other characters because she's such a cool book nerd. She memorized everybody's lines.
No doubt. I think there's something kind of endearing about that as well. Like it's, you don't look at it and go, oh man, this ruins it. It kind of adds to it. Do you know what I mean?
It makes it
more interesting. But one of the things that they really get into is James Avery and how like he was the linchpin of the show. Like he was this huge like force to be reckoned with, but like really kind and gentle and this father figure to all of them, you know? And how like he, in many ways, because a lot of them were so young, they'd spent 6 years together 5 days a week, they'd see each other more than they saw like their actual families, you know. So they became this really tight-knit unit, and it goes through like a number of the scenes and like his influence. In particular, you've probably seen it, the scene where Will Smith's dad leaves, like they're supposed to go on. Have you ever seen this scene?
Yeah.
It's really great. It's like it's an amazing piece of acting, but it's basically his father turns back up in his life after disappearing when he was five. And like he can't, it's like this kind of whirlwind of like, my dad's back, we're going on a trip together, whatever. And then his dad tries to like skip out and be like, and he's like, oh, just tell Will that I can't, I've got something else. And then Will Smith has this like moment where he like breaks down. And it's amazing, like, it's incredible. It's a really powerful scene. It's probably the most well-known scene from the show, but he talks about the experience of that and working with James Avery to kind of make that work. And the way that he helped him be like a better person and a better actor. So the other big part of it is I don't know if you remember this, there were two Aunt Vivians in that show.
Oh.
So in the first three seasons, her name was Janet Hubert. And she was, at the time it was reported that she was pushed out, she was fired from the show. And she's got this really amazing episode, I don't know if you remember it, where she goes to a dance studio because she wants to audition for like a dance group or, I can't remember what it's for exactly, but the other women like make fun of her and they're like, you're too old to do this and whatever. And then at the end of the show, she busts out this like amazing choreographed dance. And because she's, this woman in real life's incredible. Like she's obviously like a professional trained dancer. She's a terrific actor. Like she looks stunning as well. And even now she looks incredible. But that really had massive ramifications for her because she also speaks about it. Nobody had spoken to her in like 30 years. Like, it was kind of implied that Will Smith kind of was very difficult to her and like got her kind of pushed out or like kind of locked her out of the show. And so they had this sit down, it's just those two, and they kind of go through it. Like she's been very critical of him on social media like the past like 10 years talking about what had happened. And they actually sit down and talk about how that kind of unfolded. And one of the main things they get into was she was pregnant during that entire year, which is something that he also talks about since he's had kids since, that he didn't understand, you know what I mean? He didn't understand what this impact can have on a person. She was also in, like, she hints towards this, like, abusive relationship that she was in, and she was, you know, so at home she's not getting support. She comes into work and she's kind of feel like she's being, like, frozen out. And so she ended up, they kind of, I think she quit, or they asked for, she wanted, like, wasn't more money, but it was like a reasonable amount of money, and they just fired her and they just replaced her. And the woman who they replaced her with, she's good. Like she's not terrible. It's not her fault, you know.
Mm.
And it's just it's a really like frank and like just out there discussion, which you kind of don't see with this stuff. You know what I mean? And because it has, they have all this history together. And also what they go through is a lot of the stuff in the show. A lot of the social issues are still really relevant. There's a scene where they get pulled over by the cops and they're in like, because, you know, they're a rich family and they're in like a Mercedes Benz or something. And Carlton doesn't have an understanding that the police, like this could go south for him. And Will Smith, because he's from Philly, his character like does know that. So they both, he has this kind of awakening of how like people are being treated. And they even talk about how like these are issues like you look at it now and don't go, oh, that was like 30 years ago or whatever. That's still very relevant. A lot of stuff that they talk about, like class systems and race and all of these things, play a huge factor and how influential this show was. It's really amazing. Like, it's always a show that I like really enjoyed, but it it just kind of highlighted for me that, like, this was, it was very, like, pioneering and very real in a lot of ways. And also, like, silly and ludicrous, and there's a lot of, like, ridiculous shit and fun dances and whatever. Like, it's all of these things. And it's just a, it was really great. Like, I really loved it. And you should watch it.
I definitely will. It's so interesting because I was quite young watching it, and I remember it as being funny and fun and had a lot of great chemistry, and I loved Will Smith. Character and the idea of the family just seemed like such an amazingly warm place to spend time in. But I don't think I was conscious of that kind of social commentary that was going on behind it.
I mean, we were quite young when it, you know, when it came out. And we didn't also get like every sitcom. And I think the reason, or like consistently, and the reason like I know this show so well is because towards like the mid to late 90s, they just started playing it every afternoon at like 4:30.
So I just started
like, I've just seen them all. Like, I don't think there's an episode I haven't seen. And like Roseanne I have barely seen because it was maybe on once a week at like 8 o'clock on a Thursday or something. I don't fucking know. Like,
yeah.
But this show just happened to be on every day. So it was like, it was the same with MASH. Like, I have this, like, these kind of connections that you just happen to have because
of the time, because MASH was on at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I'd always watch, I'd watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and then I'd watch MASH.
Yeah.
And actually, interestingly, both of those shows were pioneering in different ways,
weren't they?
And actually really progressive and kind of with a lot of adult themes in them, particularly MASH, I guess.
Yes.
And I'm watching it as an 8-year old.
Like,
you know?
they both. Like in their own ways. They're really, it was really incredible. And just like, I know someone made like a fake trailer for like a gritty reboot. And I think they're actually doing it. Like, they're rebooting it, but they're doing it as like a drama kind of thing, which I think it's one of those things, like, if you're going to reboot it, which you probably shouldn't, you can't
try and recast it
and as a comedy. So it could, like, it could potentially work. I don't think they should bring it back.
No, because it's lightning in a bottle, right? I mean, that's Will Smith in that era being just like this kind of, well, not a trained actor, coming in with all the charisma that he has into that cast and the chemistry they all had. That's lightning in a bottle. You can't reboot that in a way. It's just, I'm a bit worried about the Friends reboot they're trying
to do. I feel like, and I don't even, I mean, some of Reavis, they're doing a reunion.
Yeah, a reunion show,
I feel like that's not going to be, I mean, maybe it'll be amazing, but like I don't. Also, I don't like Friends that much. Like, I like it, and I've seen a lot of it, probably not as much as you
have. I love it. I do. Yeah. I still really love it. I mean, I know it's problematic in lots of ways, but it was just like Sex and the City. It was really progressive at the time. And when you look back, you think, ooh.
Yeah.
But also, you have to
look through that lens.
And, I mean, I think the comedy's great, and the characters feel like family to me. And I think that's what's part of the joy of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as well, is when shows become part of your childhood in that way, they kind of become a part of the way that you grew up, and you almost feel like you know them because you come home from school and you might have had a really rough day and you can sit and just watch this kind of world unfold, and it's funny and I don't know. Yeah, I think I had a crush on Will Smith. And
I ran out of crush on
Will Smith. He was awesome.
What I find interesting about Will Smith, like, he was super cool, and I feel like in the last 10 years he's so, like, become way less cool. But I think this and maybe some other things that he's done has started to, like, it's coming around again.
Have you heard about what he's doing on Facebook?
I have no idea what he's doing on Facebook.
All right, so I think it's called The Red Table. So his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, and he and their family, Jada has sort of launched this TV show on Facebook. You can have sort of I think it's called The Red Table. It's basically like a confessional. And I wonder whether Will got the idea for sitting with that cast member from the format that he takes with Jada.
Oh, is this where they sat down, they talked about when she cheated on him
and their breakdown of their marriage. And she kind of brings people in and has these really raw, sort of, I guess, honest conversations.
She does it with her daughter. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, their whole family comes in. And so, her and Will have had quite a few times where they've sat and really had this very, very kind of raw discussion.
Yeah.
And very frank about where they've been at. So, yeah, I wonder whether that was an influence in the table.
You know,
table
it started
range.
In 2018. So, yeah, probably. And I think what makes this show
it is
so,
called The Red Table, right?
Yeah, I just Googled it. Yeah. It's been gone for like so many episodes. But
I
just thought there was that one. I didn't really.
No, it's a whole. Yeah. It's a whole.
It's got like Tony Braxton and Kid Cudi, Tiffany Haddish. There's a lot of really interesting names. Gabriel Union. Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, yeah. It's a new. Well, it's not new, but it's an interesting format. I've never really used Facebook in that way, and I still don't really.
No.
But there is content on there, like TV shows and stuff that you can watch.
Yeah, cool.
Through Facebook. So there you go. Not sponsored, but. That sounds so good. I'm totally on board for that.
Yeah, I don't see like the fresh friends being that interesting, but you know, maybe it will be. Maybe they'll be like, we all hated each other or whatever.
No, I can't really see that.
I don't think that'll be either. They'll be like, we all got $1 million an episode or whatever.
Yeah, I think, it'll be interesting anyway.
We're getting stuck.
I know. Mate. I've got to keep moving the ball rolling. All right, I'm so excited about this first recommendation.
Oh,
I know on the surface of it, it might sound like something I would recommend often, but this book, 3 Hours by Rosamund Lupton. I'd never heard of Rosamund Lupton before, and this book, I just got it recommended to me by someone. From the very first page, I could not.
You were banging on about this book. You were
down.
Like, this book is my book.
It's been a long time, I think, since I've really just been grabbed by the horns by a book and absolutely like just ripping through it page after page.
Like a
book. Anyway, so if you find it hard, are in a reading rush at the moment, this is the book for you because you'll just race through it. So the tagline is 3 hours to save the people you love.
Okay.
Rosamund Lupton is a best-selling author of 4 books. This is her 4th, particularly her book Sister, which I'm so excited to read, is another thriller as well. She writes best-selling stylish thrillers that are outstandingly suspenseful and fast-paced. 3 hours, this novel, is narrated in 10-minute increments throughout a terrifying snowy morning set in rural Somerset in the UK in the middle of a blizzard. And it's set in a progressive school, like a high school, and basically it's the school is then put under siege. So the opening scene is the headmaster, I'm not spoiling anything, being shot.
Yeah,
And so we're used to seeing these kind of stories, and heartbreakingly, because of what's happening in the US, we're used to hearing about them happening in the US.
Yeah, though not this year.
No. Interestingly, yeah. Whereas in the UK, it's the kind of a jarring.
It would be the same here. Setting. Like if it happened, it would be very unusual.
Correct.
It could definitely happen, but it's
totally. But it's very. I mean, our gun laws are very different.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's told from the point of view of the people at the heart of the story, from the wounded headmaster in the library, unable to help his trapped pupils and staff, to teenage Hannah, who's in love for the first time, to the parents gathering desperate for news. And that in itself as a parent is just, or as anyone, but a parent particularly is heartbreaking because you see there are kindergartners as well who are quite young. So it's a school from prep. To year 12, and so there's kids stuck in the pottery room, and so you see the parents of the kindergartners, and also parents of kids who are missing and they can't find them, and you get into their heads. It also then moves to Rafi, who's a 16-year-old refugee trying to rescue his little brother Bassi, and he becomes like a central figure in the story.
Right.
And another interesting character is a police psychologist who must identify the gunman, and it goes through her psychology, and she's sort of sitting in the police trucks, and she's pregnant actually at the
time.
This
sounds like it would make a great British show.
Yeah, I do not doubt that someone is going to try and turn this into a TV show. To the students taking refuge in the school theatre, so the students in the school theatre are currently rehearsing for Macbeth, and so they end up continuing to rehearse Macbeth throughout the novel, and she kind of quite cleverly, I think.
Works it into the narrative?
Yeah, she works it into the narrative, which I think is really interesting because there's also themes of the refugee crisis in Syria, and you get a lot of flashbacks for Rafi and his brother in the journey that they took from Syria in losing their parents. And their story starts to become intertwined with the school and why it's under siege. I won't spoil it, but there's a lot to be taken from the novel. On the surface, it reads as a thriller and it's very gripping, but it's also a lot about the plight of humanity and about love and forgiveness and redemption, about what you would be like in that kind of scenario.
Sure, yeah.
And imagining whether, you know, you would be brave or whether you would hide and what lengths you would go to for the people that you love. and then also being a parent in that situation and or a teacher and what you would do. And I think being a parent and a teacher, it's kind of interesting to think about the responsibility you have as a teacher to a group of kids and then the kind of
yes.
the way that different teachers respond to the crisis initially.
Yeah.
And some people shut down and some people are extraordinarily,
it's one of those things where, like, it's kind of terrifying that you don't.
You just don't really know
how you'd react.
No, and you like to think you'd be that really brave person who would go out there, but some people in a crisis freeze. You know, there's kind of that fight or flight and some people freeze. So, you know, you could run away or you could step up to the mark. It also deals a lot with PTSD, particularly with Syrian refugees. And because Rafi is the one who discovers the bomb first up.
Oh, wow.
And the headmaster believes
I thought it was a shooting.
Oh, yeah, so there are bombs planted around the school. But it is a shooting. There's armed gunmen that come into the school, but it begins with a bomb exploding and it kind of unravels from there. So it's, I would highly recommend it. It's just... Yeah, really, really, really.
That sounds really good.
Unputdownable.
You can't put it down.
You can't put it down.
Don't even
bother. And I'm so excited because Rosamund Lupton has three other books I haven't read.
Ah.
So I love that when you stumble in onto an author and it happens.
And you're like,
literally
more books.
All the time. Yeah. And you suddenly realize there's a whole other, like a lot of books to get through. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Perfect.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Well, I'm going to tell you about the game New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, which is a re-release that came out in 2019, but it originally came out on the Nintendo Wii U in 2012, I believe. So it's got the classic Mario feel. It's a 2D side-scroller like the original Mario. It's none of this 3D worlds thing. And the reason I started playing it again...
But does it have the theme song,
Yes, it's got the theme song probably,
Are
I
you
guess.
Sure?
I don't know. I can't remember. It's got other stuff going on in it.
Are you proud I got the theme song right this time?
I don't care. But what our food's probably here, so I want to get through this so I can eat all the Indian food. But like most Mario stories, it's very minimal. You know, the castle gets taken over, princess kidnapped and whatever. You can choose between four playable characters, but I've kind of been slowly kind of playing a little bit of video games with our son, like, you know, maybe 20 minutes a day.
I know.
Which you love. It's very limited and it's not every day.
And he loves it so much because he did say to me today, I hate places.
Yeah.
And I've really come to realize that you and him are very similar and I'm understanding you more as I get to know him more. And
I also hate
you
places.
Love video games and you love staying at home and not going to places.
True. But
I think I'm giving in.
But the good thing about this game is that, I don't want it to be
I just get worried about addiction.
Totally.
And I get worried about being absorbed in that and wasting time.
Yeah, which is why I'm trying to limit it as well. Because I think with anything, you know, it shouldn't be like it's a recreational thing, but it's like you got to put a cap on it. But it's he's picked it up fairly quickly, but it's still like it's not super easy. You know what I mean? Like it's quite brutal at parts. So it's just interesting watching him kind of learn and like the way that the game is designed. It kind of teaches you as you go. And, like, I like giving pointers and, like, I'll try doing this and whatever and what the different power-ups do. But, yeah, it's really good because we did a little bit of the Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which I talked about. We did a bit of Mario Kart 8, which has, like, an auto-driving thing you can put on. So he does, like, a lot of the steering, but it'll keep you on the track, essentially. But this is, like... kind of the next level of like kind of difficulty. I know you don't. Are you saying you seem real?
No, I'm actually really impressed. And I like as much as like a big part of me is like video games.
Also, but like, I also if he think likes them, he we likes can't. It. If we keep him away from him, it will backfire.
Yeah,
in the long term,
you're right. You know? I know. Yeah. It's like all of this stuff that it's like the internet. You can't just say no, internet. It's not safe. You have to teach them how to be in there. It's like anything, right? Like the internet is just like. Another version of the world out there.
Yeah, totally.
You can't prevent you know, them bumping into terrible things, you have to help them negotiate and navigate how to recognize when things are going to be dangerous and then how to get step back from them. And
exactly.
Unfortunately, yeah. as much as I'd like to wrap them in cotton wool and keep them at home.
No, you know, they turn weird. I mean, you don't want that.
Yeah, even though, I mean, he does like to stay at home. Literally, yeah. all I wanted to do was go to a park.
If it's a thing that
morning.
He knows, like
the. I hate done. Places, Mum. No. What places? All the places.
No, no, no. That's not even true. Like, it's only when. You've got to, like, you have to have been there or you kind of show him what it is. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, he doesn't like
He
you.
Likes to know what, like me as well. I like to know what I'm walking into.
Even when it's like a new playground.
Yeah.
I showed it to him actually and then he was happy to go. Yeah,
exactly.
Because you two are so suspicious of life, whereas I'm like, sure, I'll do a thing. I don't mind. Well, let's just get there and see what it's like.
And I'm like, oh, this fucking guy. Anyway. And they're like, hello. I'm like, nah, no. Definitely not.
That's what happened at the playground today. A kid started following him and he just said, Mummy, I don't like it. That kid's following me. Yeah. He's like four. I was like, mate, just tell him to go. He's like, I told him to go away. He wouldn't go away. Let's go home. That was it. He was having a great time. Let's go home. We have to go home. That kid was following me. Oh, I love him. He's hysterical.
He is.
Anyway, can I recommend one more thing? Or have you got any more Mario to talk about?
Get into it.
Okay,
it's fun.
Cool. Okay, so I think you might already know about this. Do you know about Gabby Rivera?
I don't know about
Gabby
Rivera.
All right, so I listened to a podcast by Brené Brown called Unlocking Us. Love that podcast.
She's
it's
an
just
American
really
writer,
excellent.
I see.
Yeah, so Gabby Rivera is a Bronx-born queer Puerto Rican author on a mission to create the wildest, most fun stories ever.
Oh, she's worked for Marvel.
Yeah, so she's the first Latina to write for Marvel Comics, penning the solo series America About America Chavez, a portal-punching queer Latina powerhouse. Yeah, so I wondered whether you knew about her.
I do,
This particular interview with Brené Brown and Gabby is just joyful. She talks about herself as being joyfully rebellious, which I love. She talks about kind of growing up in her community and how connected she was with her family and with food, but obviously she grew up in a very Catholic, conservative part of the Bronx
thing,
and then being queer and being, you know, a chubby, different kind of girl and really kind of nerdy and how she developed her writing ability through that and then how her parents basically supported her to write her first book, which I can't wait to read. It's called Juliet Takes a Breath. And Roxane Gay, who is this incredible feminist activist and writer, called it effing outstanding. And I think she self-published it and then Penguin Random House have since published it in September 2019.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And I'm
full props
so,
for doing that. That's
yeah, bloody amazing.
So hard to get something published.
Right, exactly. So she's also an LGBTQ youth advocate and she just goes around the country spreading her joy revolution, talking about writing and creativity, and she's really into superheroes and comics and all that stuff.
I mean, obviously, Claire.
Obviously. And Juliet Takes a Breath, I think, is such an important – it's actually a young adult novel.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So I think it would be perfect to you if you have a teenager in your life. It would be such a good novel to recommend to them. And the protagonist, Juliet, is sort of loosely based on Gabby herself and what she went through as a teenager, but also kind of not. And it's a classic kind of hero's journey.
Mm.
So anyway, but this particular conversation with Brené is just heartwarming and really interesting. And I just love how she ended up writing this like amazing, you know, solo comic series and working for Marvel. Like, that's just amazing.
That's really great. That's
awesome. And all
and
on the back
it's
of
It's always good to have,
creativity.
Like, different voices in
right?
any industry.
And diversity.
But,
yeah.
Just different people. It's really interesting.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
I never understand when people are like, oh, this is, I can't relate to this. And blah, blah, blah. Or, like, there's a lot of, like, this is just diversity for diversity's sake. Well, we live in a diverse world. So I guess the planet is diversity for diversity's sake.
Exactly.
You
I think
fuck.
The best thing the best thing I actually loved about what I took from their conversation on the podcast Unlocking Us was the way she described storytelling in her family and how her dad and her auntie are just these incredible storytellers. And anytime anyone was in the house, they would just be telling these really colourful, hilarious.
And do you think that's
like
over-exaggerated. That's obviously where she got her
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see
I'm
it.
I'm going to let the dog out. You keep talking
totally. Yeah, yeah. You can really see the colour and life that she brings into her writing and into her activism kind of come alive through her childhood and the stories of her childhood. So it's and I just love that the way she talks about culture too.
Way to cross over though. Good work, Claire. People who've come over from my more successful podcast, The Weekly Planet, will be very impressed.
Anyway, yeah, so I'd recommend listening to that podcast. I haven't read the book yet, so I'll let you know, but I'm assuming it's going to be awesome. There's been some really great reviews. That's it.
Speaking
That's the show.
Speaking of awesome, though, we've got a new way to do letters this week, don't we?
Ooh, yes. Yeah. So I came up with it last week. Basically, you can send a voice memo in. You can also just email the show with a regular email.
Yeah, we'll take your regular emails.
I love those as well. But if you would like to have your voice on the actual show, you can record on your iPhone a voice memo. Please make sure that you say your name and where you're listening from.
Yeah.
That would be
up top.
Amazing. Up top, straight up the top. And, just email us and through the wonders of technology, Raw Collings, who always edits this show so wonderfully, can put it into the show.
No, we can do it here because you can just play it.
Oh, yeah, we can. Even more wonderful technology. We can totally do it.
Let's listen together.
All right. Okay, so this is our first one. Cheers. Let's go.
Hi, Claire and James. My name's Nathaniel. I'm voice reviewing in from unceded Omaha land, what is also known as the state of Nebraska. It's Native American Heritage Month, and as a member of the Oglala Lakota Nation, I have a couple of new comic books to suggest to celebrate. Marvel's Voices, Indigenous Voices #1, and the first two issues of Werewolf by Night. Indigenous Voices #1 brings together some of the hottest Indigenous writers and artists to tell stories of your favorite Indigenous Marvel characters. Already, this issue makes it apparent that the solution to better stories and fewer stereotypes of Indigenous characters is to have their stories told by actual Indigenous people. This special issue is cool, but I'm even more excited to keep reading the new run of Werewolf by Night. Issue 2 comes out this week.
It does.
It's a cool book written by Taboo of the Black Eyed Peas. So check them out. If you hear any noise in the background, I'm a stay-at-home dad and my little one is playing away. My wife and I love the podcast and appreciate your parenting suggestions and personal stories. It's really made us feel not alone during our first year as new parents. So thanks a lot. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Oh my goodness, that was awesome. We should do this all the time.
I know, it's so good, isn't it? Thanks so much, Nate. We really, really appreciate it. Thanks for the recommendation.
I was going through the comics that are out this week and I had Werewolf by Night issue 1 like literally in front of me, like on my computer.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. It's almost like you guys have lots in common.
Indigenous voices. Yeah, who would have thought?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks awesome. So much, Nathaniel. Yeah, cool. Amazing. So if you would like to have your voice on the poddo, please email us your voice memo in.
That's right.
We would love it. All right. And how can you review the show, James
Bowles? Oh, it's in app. Just open up the app and you're like, "What? How do I do this?"
Appity app.
This one is from RPG Wiz. I says, love the podcast.
Does he like to whiz?
Doesn't say it's a man, woman, anything in between. We don't even know, Claire. Where on the spectrum? Who's to say? But they say honest, hilarity, candor and suggestions from a bantering, bickering and opinionated married couple who are both great people.
James and Claire, I am. I don't know about that guy over there.
James and Claire are the best. Keep on suggesting. P.S. I, for one, love it when you guys get political. Well,
don't you worry. We'll continue to.
Never stop.
Possibly.
Cool.
Well, never stop, won't stop. You know what might stop?
What might stop?
The hair on your head growing.
You never know.
You're getting old, mate.
I'm getting old, mate. I'm getting old.
You look great.
I don't believe you.
You shouldn't. All right. Is that it?
Listen, I just want to turn up on the first day of school with my son and look around and go, yeah, I'm not the worst looking guy here.
You're already doing that. We had our first transition for like first year of school for next year and you said the whole time.
On the Zoom call.
On the Zoom call, just looking at everybody, comparing yourself.
No, I was making fun of everybody, Claire, if anything.
Don't tell everyone
No, I wasn't doing that. No, I was mostly trying to get a rise out of you on
the
Zoom
call.
Yeah,
you were. And we were on the screen and I felt like the kids at the back of the classroom where the teacher's talking and I'm trying to listen and I've got my mate in the corner just trying to make me laugh. Mm. So then they were talking about something very serious and social emotional and I'm giggling away on the Zoom because you kept telling ridiculous things.
I'm a teacher. I heard it all before. But, you know, it was good, I guess. Like it was good to hear. Yeah. It seemed like a really good school. And honestly, the people seemed very nice of what we saw on the Zoom call. And I'll get to meet them all very soon. And then we've got a brand new bunch of friends. And there's
barbecues
every week and people recognising us up the street and a whole decades of new people in our life. And maybe some of them will listen to this one day and be like, does James actually hate me? And maybe I do.
No, you just don't like people. And that's okay.
I don't like places, Claire.
Yeah, you don't like places. Just like us.
It's good to make friends.
You say that
Let's
like
go,
you're telling yourself.
Let's go because I want to eat food.
All right. So long. Have a great week.
Thanks, Collins.
Yeah, thanks, Collins, for editing. We've been Chestable Pod.
We'll never stop.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.